Howdy, it's Favi Fav, and as some of you know, I have been in Austin, Texas for the month of September doing a residency at the Museum of Human Achievement. Yes, that's a real place. And this weekend, this Sunday, September 17th, from 2 to 4 p.m., Bavelito will be here. We are hosting a Latinos Who Brunch, a Latinos Who Lunch brunch at the Museum of Human Achievement. Join us for music and beer and some food. We want to make it a potluck, so bring something, share something, meet people. I already met a bunch of amazing listeners. Shout out to everybody that I've met. This Sunday, September 17th, from 2 to 4 p.m., Bavelito and I will be hanging out at the Museum of Human Achievement. We would love it if you would join us. Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Bavelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Oh my God, I didn't know it was my turn. Hello, hello, hello.
I don't care.
We're not going to redo it. That was good.
Kisho.
Oh my gosh. What are you doing?
I... Me siento como Santa Claus, güey.
What? Fat and white?
And full of letters.
Letters?
That's right.
Dude, that was a stretch.
It was a stretch, but I think it works because you know where I'm heading with this.
Sure.
This is what people have been asking for.
Oh my God, you're building it up and I don't know if that's going to be that good.
It's going to be good.
Oh, okay.
It's the Listener Letters episode numero tres. We've been getting so many good emails and I apologize in advance for all those people that we don't have time to read their emails. And I have to say something.
Say it.
I am very thankful that we are able to offer this platform. Because if the emails are any indication, we are succeeding in offering a safe space for our listeners. So thank you everybody who opened their hearts and their minds to spend a little time of their days and sending some incredible emails. And we're going to go through some of them.
Cool. Aren't we going to talk about our lunch since that's the name of our show?
No, we're going to get ready. Lunch.
Did you forget about that
part? I completely forgot about it because I'm so excited about the episode.
Oh my God. What did you have for lunch?
I had arroz con pollo.
Okay. That's nice.
That's what I had with some cilantro sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And normally this is a side, but I was so into watching Leah Remini with you that I completely forgot.
You guys,
and I just ate the whole thing.
Scientology and the Aftermath, second season.
They're terrorizing rich people. We need to stop.
They need to stop. Scientologists needs to stop. It's so good, though. I love that show. Yeah. I just forgot how good it feels to like eat and watch TV at the same time.
Well, you never do it like that?
Because I don't have a TV. So, like, I don't have the luxuries that you do at home.
Calmate. So, I don't have cable, so...
It was beautiful to do that, you know?
It was funny. ¿Tú qué comiste?
I ate spaghetti.
Tallarines.
With vegetables and a bunch of spices in it. I feel like every Latino culture, though, has, like, a bootleg spaghetti recipe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, like Honey Boo Boo. Kind of like that.
Okay, that has nothing to do with Latinos.
Yes, dude, because my tío vino de Kansas and he made a spaghetti. Uh-huh. It was like watching that episode of Honey Boo Boo.
They put ketchup and butter in a bag.
No, puso un chingo de fake butter in a pot and then put tomato sauce, but not like ragu or like anything fancy. Like from
ragu
the
is not fancy, bitch.
Girl, compared to this, that was ragu is super very fancy. You know the little cans of tomato sauce that are like 99 cents for 6 of them in like the Mexican stores?
Yeah.
He kept adding it and that. And so it was like, it was margarine.
Margarine?
Margarine. It was tomatoes, like cheap tomato sauce. Y un chingo de Nor Suiza caldo de pollo.
Oh my God.
I was terrified when he was making it, but I think I ate like 3 servings of it.
Wow.
It was off the hook.
Oh my gosh. Did your mom ever make spaghetti and then put like salsa roja, right? But then like mix mayonnaise or sour cream into it?
No.
So it was like crema?
Oh, yes, con crema agria.
Like sour cream. Spaghetti with sour cream and just like tomato, like el pato tomato, you know, sauce on it.
Correct. Yes.
Damn. And then with that powdery cheese. Damn, poor people food. They
it's
get
the best.
You get creative, dude. You get creative.
We have very, very sophisticated taste palate.
You know, my one of my faves is like when you don't even have oil to fry the tortilla. Uh-huh. So you just put it in the microwave for like 3 minutes.
A tortilla for 3 minutes, that becomes a tostada.
Yeah, so you don't have time. You don't have the oil to fry it, so you put it in the microwave. And then all you have is mayonnaise, so you make a mayonnaise tostada. Oh, my God.
I've never done that. But
well, you know, my family's had different struggles than yours.
My family.
Shout out to my mom. Okay, what?
Just to finish the spaghetti talk.
I don't know my dad or I would give him a shout out.
Triste. I know.
We have to laugh. We have to laugh. What were you going to say?
For a long time, I was disturbed because in my family for birthdays is mole. It's like a mole thing, right?
Really?
Yes. So we've been having a lot of mole because August, September, October, there's a lot of birthdays in my family.
Like what color mole?
Pero se lo comen con espagueti.
No.
Dude.
Se pasan. How disrespectful to mole everywhere.
But it's amazing.
I bet you it's amazing.
Cheap ass spaghetti.
Gelaguetza, are you hearing this?
Yes.
Mole spaghetti, new menu item.
And we actually made the gelaguetza.
Oh my God, you can buy it and make it at home.
Yes.
This is a free ad for them. You're welcome.
It is fantastic. La gelaguetza para el mejor mole.
I love mole.com.
Ay, qué calor.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's get to these listener letters. This is going to be fun, I hope. But first, let's take a little break. We got to pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Favi.
What's up?
You know how your career is blowing up?
Nope, but go ahead. What are you going to say?
Well, soon, I know you're going to find yourself in need of some employees. And you know what's the best way to find the best candidates for your new exciting career?
Tell me what.
It is ZipRecruiter. That's right. ZipRecruiter con la Z.
Okay.
With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site within one day. Solo un día.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos.
Así o más fácil.
And we're back. Okay.
Let's do this.
Am I going to go first or you're going to go first?
Usted primero.
Okay.
Usted primero.
Here we go. Okay. Our first letter comes from Chuy.
Hola, Chuy.
Hi. And the subject is, lo que se ve se preguntará o no.
Sácatelas.
Coming out help. Oh, God. Here we go. Hi, Babalito and Favi. My name is Chuy, and I am an avid listener to your podcast since discovering it. I first listened to your Juan Gabriel and was hooked immediately. Oh, the Juan Gabriel episode.
It's okay. One of my favorites.
I wanted to discuss the Latino coming out process. I read an article about how Latino men and white men differ in doing so from The Advocate. We'll put the link on our website for you guys. This hit close to home when I did decide to come out. I'm a Mexican immigrant, raised Catholic, and an only child, hence my hesitation to do so. First, I came out to my mom. Mistake number one.
Sale.
She had a meltdown for about 24 hours, threw in my face that all she wanted was to live to see me married with children. My heart was broken. I thought out of all the people, she would have my back and understand. I left for the night to return my dad asking me to come home to discuss what happened. He had better than I hoped. Okay, girl, you guys got to edit your emails when you send them to us. What the fuck? Okay. He was surprisingly calm and took it better than I hoped. He stated that nothing will change and he would move forward. Okay, mistake number two. Here we go. He started to ask me if I had ever been with a woman or attempted to have a relationship. I told him no, that I just knew I was gay and didn't want to. There is where he started to break down and tell me that he understood because he was struggling with that in his youth. I was speechless.
Shooketh.
Oh my God, stop using that word. He told me how his dad would take him and my uncle to the whores in Mexico to have relations and be men. Again, I was just in shock at his confession. He somehow managed to pull himself together and told me that he ultimately did the right thing, married and had me, and how he knows that eventually I will do the right thing, and left it at that. I still struggle to try to understand it. I know my parents love me, but I'm kind of left feeling like I was a sham to get the spotlight off my dad and his queerness. Oh, like he was an excuse. Exactly. Oh, okay, I get it. Like, I'm just a front to keep up appearances in the stupid Mexican machismo rancho culture that my family is from. Oh my God, this letter keeps going on. Okay. I still depend on both of my parents. They are immigrants and have always struggled to get by. I'm pushing 30 this year and I just want to scream for the hand dealt to me. I want to be able to talk about this, but I can't bring myself to do so. I have this hate and anger towards my dad that manifests itself in other ways, and I feel guilty as fuck when it does. I know you're probably thinking I need a shrink, but I'm Mexican, and we can agree on mental health treatment options. I can't afford to be sad. Ha 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 ha. Bueno, I really hope I didn't freak you guys out. Thank you for the show, and keep up the good work. Yours truly, XOXO Chuy. I added the XOXO. Dios, oh my God, mio. What was that, 20 minutes? Okay, we're here. Okay, we're here, we're queer, we're answering emails. Okay.
First of all,
let's break it down.
Yes. Okay,
so he came out to his mom. His mom was like, ah, my gosh, normal reaction.
Escándalo.
Okay. Uh-huh. Actually, a kinder reaction than some people receive. Some kids get kicked out of their house.
Yes.
So, okay, you went through that. But then
le sale del closet con el papá.
The dad comes out, uh-huh. And then Chuy is very laganja estranja and is like, this is my moment. And didn't expect that to come from his dad.
Uh-huh.
Now,
but see, that's the thing,
he's
that
feeling, this is a movie.
This is a good movie.
I mean, it's not good. I'm sorry. But
this is what's interesting about this email, that the dad didn't necessarily came out. He just said, I struggle with this too before, but I made the right decision.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the dad saying, I'm gay right now? Or is it the dad saying, for a second, I thought I was gay, so I know what you're going through? That, I think that's the important question. But either way, you know, like, how courageous, I mean, I don't know if people agree with me, but how courageous is his dad to be able to communicate and talk to his queer son in that way? Like, you will have to completely open up in order to do something like that. So I said, Chuyito, you're lucky, because a lot of kids have gone through some really messed up situations. Not that we should all expect to have a very bad coming out story, right? But I mean, silver linings, my friend.
But what advice do we give him?
To really take that moment of courage that his dad took. It has not, his dad approach to this has nothing necessarily to do with him. So he doesn't need to take it personally. He doesn't need to take, like, he stole the moment from his dad. I think that was his dad opening up and connecting with him. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but I think I mean, congrats to Chuy for actually saying the words and telling his mom and his dad that he's gay.
Because it's very, because very difficult.
It's very hard to do that. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge step. And the fact that he did that, sometimes it takes people years to process that information.
And sometimes they never, yeah. Sometimes they don't ever do it.
I mean, so that's new information to them. So it's going to take a little while. I have so many friends that have come out and their parents disowned them, and now they're best buddies with their parents and their partners. Mm-hmm. Also, something that I know exists is the parent, maybe his father, resenting him because he sees himself in his son. Mm. So who knows how Chuy was treated growing up by his father because of that. Because a lot of times parents see their kids as an extension of themselves when they're individuals, right? And that's not fair to the child. Mm-hmm. So it's very complicated. I mean, one thing, I don't know where this person's from. Are they from LA? There are a lot of organizations that help people by just having meetings.
Yes, PFLAG, open up to professionals. That's important.
PFLAG in LA, for example, is for parents and their kids to go, and not even the kids, the parents just go and hang out with other parents that have gay kids so they can just kind of talk things out. But again, I know my family and they don't want nobody knowing their business, and they would never go to a meeting like that. So I guess you just being open, and Chuy being open and honest,
and
is the best way. And surrounding yourself with people that understand your struggle and your story, I mean, is amazing.
And I connected with this letter because he talks about the struggles of his family as an immigrant family. There's parts of the email we also didn't read, and it's one of a series of emails that he sent us. So he understands. He understands that this is a cultural thing. I think part of him understands that it's not personal, but of course it's your family, so he cannot help but take it personal. But I think he's in the right path because one of the things that helped me come out was forgiving my parents before coming out. Like, I had to prepare myself to forgive them before, for anything they might or might not said, for anything that they would have done. Because I was like, this is not about me. This is about them. It's a cultural thing. It's a lot of things in place. And I know they love me. So once I was able to do that, then I was able to came out. And that really helped. And also reaching out to the community. I went to my first meeting a week after I came out. And I heard some crazy coming out stories. And it sounds bad, but listening to other people's cases really helped me understand that I had a good, like, at the end of the day, I was able to go back to my parents and live there, and they still fed me. So I'm lucky. And it seems like Chuy still lives with his parents. So, I mean, continue that communication. It's going to be hard. And as you say, it might take years, but
the hardest part, you can't afford therapy. You can reach out. There's community centers.
Correct.
That offer help. There's places like YouTube where you can go and listen to people's coming out stories. Mm-hmm. Something that really helped me was surrounding myself. I didn't realize what I was doing when I was doing it, but I ended up creating a whole nother family to support me, you know, so that when I was able to start coming out, that I wouldn't have no one to go to.
Correct.
So I have this amazing group of friends, like my chosen family now. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that kind of support, like I said, you need to, it's there for you.
Yeah.
There's so many people. We're here. Latinos Who Lunch is here. We support you.
Oh, yes.
And there's so many other people you can reach out to online.
And this is why I said what I said in the beginning of the show, because the fact that we have a listener that feels comfortable to share their story tells us that this is a safe space. And that goes to everybody. Like, we are struggling to create this safe space for everybody. So keep those stories and those amazing letters. And again, Chuy, the hardest part just passed. You passed the hardest obstacle, and it's going to take time, but your parents love you. The next letter comes from Maria, and the subject of her email, we keep saying letters, of her email is A Pregunta from a Chicana Perdida.
Okay.
and the email says, what does guara guara la cuchara mean? Also, love you. Me completan y me dan la vida.
Oh my God.
XO, XXO, Maria.
Guara guara la cuchara just is like blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. And we got it from this YouTube channel that I watch. Her name is Deborah Livas.
Ella nos da vida a nosotras.
Ella nos da vida. She is a sex worker. And
somewhere in northern Mexico, right?
She is living her truth and has thousands of followers.
Probably more by now.
On the internet.
She talks about cashing those YouTube checks, and I think she means
it. She really does. Anyways, guara guara la cuchara, like blah blah blah. You know, that's all it means. Mexicans love rhyming things. That's it. Guara guara la cuchara.
But it's also a song. I think she got it from a song.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a banda song.
Oh my
like,
God, I don't know anything.
But the song is like very banda, like guara guara la cuchara. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Google
I don't know.
Loca. All right.
Anyway, Chaito Valdez.
Chaito Valdez. Okay. Maybe I'll put the audio from the video in.
That would be fun.
Just because it's like, it's too good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next email comes from Gerardo. All right, the subject is accent. Hey guys. Okay, so I just started listening to y'all and I listened to the Beyonce episode. Something that bothered me was when Babelito said he was on denial. And your guest was like, oh, you were in Egypt on the Nile? Then compared it to her having a speech impediment as a child. To me, it's condescending when people do that. But I was wondering how Babelito feels about that and how he embraces his accent. Love the podcast, BTW. Gerardo. All right. That was for you.
This has been a process because I struggle with the accent, and I wanted to erase it. So I think my accent is like Fresa, Mexico City accent, which I hate. But that was me trying to not to sound... You know, like the episode of Modern Family when Sofia Vergara tries to imitate a gringo accent?
I don't watch that show. There's anyway, too many white people
on it. And she's like... welcome to your nightmare. Like, that was me when I first started to speak English.
Yeah.
Now I don't give a fuck. To the point that when I tell my name, I'm stopping myself from saying Emmanuel.
Yeah.
I hate that. So I say Emmanuel and they're like, excuse me, Emmanuel. Excuse me, Emmanuel. Like, that's
but
it.
But see, this is... Okay. I don't want to step on your answer here, but I correct you, but I'm never correcting your accent. I'm correcting the word that you use.
My grammar.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me, especially from people that are bilingual. If you're bilingual, you know the struggles
I've had discussions with you before. It's mm-hmm. like, when I speak Spanish and I'm speaking Spanish in front of you, I can tell that I'm saying the wrong words. And all you do is smile and you get this like glow about you because I'm saying the wrong words.
I don't enjoy you fucking
I
up.
Can see you loving it, bitch.
Bitch, that's your insecurities. I don't enjoy it. But I
can see that your aura's fucked up, okay? I can see it, girl.
Nope, that's your insecurities. I don't enjoy
sure.
it. But it doesn't, first of all, it doesn't bother me.
No, but okay, the point
you're
I'm
you're asking me to correct you.
No, the point I'm trying to say uh-huh. is I like it when people correct what I'm saying. And okay. I said, oh, okay, cool. That's how you would say that in Spanish, you know? But anyways.
What bugs me about what this person is commenting on.
Yeah.
When people correct me or make fun of me and they only speak one fucking language.
That's true.
Like, don't. Like, you don't know the fucking struggles. And guess what? I speak 2.5 languages because I forgot half of my Italian.
Sure.
But if I want to, I can speak 3 languages within a month. So when somebody comes in and makes fun of me or uses some sort of cartoon character to muck my accent, that should really... I
have never seen that. People do that to you?
Oh, they've done it to me, yeah.
Ew.
Like arriba, like that's cute.
No.
Yeah. And I have zero tolerance for that shit. It's been, I think my 30s really helped me put all these things together. But in terms of that specific episode, that came from my killer. I didn't even think about it. That came from a friend. I didn't took it offensively because we're just so close and I know she comes from a good place, but I know exactly what Gerardo is talking about. And you're right. Like I need to say something when that happens because it's not right.
Yeah. I don't think this case was that.
What do you mean?
Like Michaela saying to you, denial, denial, like white people make that joke. Like denial, denial, denial. So
No, I don't think it came from a bad place. Yes.
I mean, it didn't come from a bad place. But I know what you're talking about, like...
But if it would have come from another person, probably I would have said something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what bothers me is, like, when I don't code switch sometimes and I'm... Say, like, burrito, piñata, whatever word that's there's a English equivalent to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, ooh, burrito, ooh, I like when you say that. And you're like, I didn't even, what, bitch, get out of here. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Just put more sour cream on your burrito and get on with your day.
And, like, get the fuck out.
Ugh.
No, I know exactly what you mean. But, yes, I being more and more unapologetic about my accent. I love my accent. I'm glad I didn't lose it. At this point, I'm not going to lose it, which is awesome. And once again, I have tolerance, but when it comes from a person that only speaks one language, that's nope. True. Nope.
And anyway, I don't even hear accents. So, you know, I don't see color. I don't hear accents. Do you have a letter to read or what?
Yes, let's okay. do this. Our next letter comes from Leah. She just says, hello. A little background on myself. I'm 25 years old. I grew up in San Jose, California, and moved to Los Angeles after college to try to, quote unquote, make it in Hollywood with my ultimate goal to be a TV writer. I love LA and the strong Latino presence, but being in the entertainment industry is a different beast. I'm so much more aware of my Latinidad now that I'm trying to pursue a career as a TV writer. I'm beginning to see more and more how the entertainment industry is so constrained to the business, aka money. I'm constantly wondering where I stand as a Latina in the entertainment industry. Not white, not black, but a hybrid of the indigenous and the colonizer. I've been so inspired with the amount of black TV shows and films that have gained recognition and awards. But these accomplishments also make me see that brown, Asian, and Native American communities still have a long way to go. Because of these thoughts that have been rolling around my head for the past 2 years since moving to LA, I've been thinking a lot about grad school, more specifically pursuing a master's in Chicana, Latino, Latina studies. I still see myself pursuing a career in filmmaking, although it may not be in the form of the Hollywood industry. At 25, I'm just not sure I'm ready to dedicate the rest of my life to the Hollywood format. I feel like a learning within a guided framework will be beneficial for me, but I would love to hear your thoughts on pursuing a higher education to deepen my understanding of who I am as a Mexican American. Is this a worthy cause? Does it make a sense to pursue it if I am still looking to eventually be a screenwriter? I know several amazing creative Latinas, but very few have experiences on television shows. It's so inspiring to see them hosting podcasts, making web series, working at nonprofits, writing poetry, etc. As someone who has been able to see television on the inside, I've just been wondering, is my place here? Someone who has inspired me and I think will be awesome to hear in Latinos Who Launch is a Guatemalteco actor, Arturo Castro, who plays Jaime on Broad City.
Jaime.
He has a web series called Alternatino that Comedy Central picked up to pilot.
It's so good.
So I'm crossing my fingers it get picked up to a series. I haven't seen it.
That's great.
Please make of this mail however you will. I would love to keep in touch. Last thing I will say is that I work as a temp PA in the writer's room on and if you want to know the deets, guess you'll have to respond to me because I will dish out the chisme. Yeah, that sounds good. Anyway, XOXO, Lea. Ooh, what do you think?
What was her question?
She is wondering because of the lack of inclusivity in Hollywood and her role as a TV writer, if it's the right way to continue in Hollywood or if it's better for her to go to grad school. And she wants to know our thoughts about going to grad school.
Well, I've never been there, so this is for you. Go ahead.
But this is why I also think this is an important email because we have different stances about grad school, and yours is one and mine is one. So why don't you tell everybody yours, and then we'll talk about mine.
Oh, okay.
Because you have very valid reasons for not going to grad school.
Well, it doesn't mean I'm not going to go to grad school. I just haven't gone to grad school yet.
Yeah.
She's in a place where she's writing for a TV show that has a lot of diversity on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need. We need more diversity in Hollywood. So I don't see what's wrong with her going to grad school, furthering her education. Knowledge is power. And then she's going to be a screenwriter when she gets back. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think her fear is of her leaving the job and not having that job when she comes back.
Correct.
And maybe a white writer stepping into her role and into a show that's predominantly Latino. So Latinx, Latinao. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's important for her to grad school, especially if she already has one foot in the door.
Yeah.
Because if she's able to offer all kinds of ideas, quote unquote diverse. I hate that word, diversity. I don't even know what the fuck that means. But if she can, if she's able to offer all kinds of different ideas that really reflect the realities of her community, imagine working those out within a group of grad students and professors. And that's why it's important to choose the right program, because you can be working on a career, let's say art, and we talked about this before, mm-hmm. and you end up going to an art school that is basically going to ruin you. I just came from a meeting in school where we talked about the big diversity in terms of the student body in school, but when it comes to professors, that's next to nothing. So when you have this big community, let's say, of Latinos who go to school and they're always being taught by white professors yeah. that don't necessarily have the broad experience with our communities, sometimes that's detrimental. So I said, yes, continue in this career, go to grad school, but choose the right program. Do your research. Find the professors that are going to widen and expand your horizon in terms of your experiences. So by the time you get out, you can offer a lot more to these TV shows, because guess what? We talked about it too. It's not just about having one token person of color in the characters in the TV shows.
Yeah.
We need producers. We need writers. We need directors. We need people in the inside to really, again, diversified and really create spaces for all of us, not just for one single audience.
Yeah, and I know there's a few white people that listen to this show, and they are in places of power mm-hmm. where they can hire people mm-hmm. to quote unquote fill the diversity gap,
yeah.
okay, whatever that means. There's more and more people that are actually paying attention to who they hire, because it's important to just be surrounded with people not only of different colors, but different perspectives, different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So I was just sitting in on a meeting, and a friend was telling me that they were trying to decide on decorations for a gala.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the only person of color in the room.
And she was mortified by the...
And something that somebody threw out there was, hey, let's put tiki torches all up and down the walkways. And she raised her hand and was like, I don't think tiki torches is
the best,
is the best
right
choice
now.
For. Because some people are so privileged that they don't even understand what's happening right now in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that the timing is everything, right?
Exactly.
Literally. So like the choice to have a tiki torch as a decoration right now, best signal. So anyways, yeah. And, you know, I haven't watched that TV show in a long time. I'm going to start watching it.
Yes, I only watched the first season and I was hooked.
Okay.
But when I say I don't like that word diversity, it's because what it signifies today. Because I think it just, for a lot of people, diversifying a space just means adding one or two persons to the mix, you know, to create a little bit of diversity. But the reality is that diversification has to come from the inside out, and we need a whole entire new world to really understand that.
Because I've been to organizations where they count all the employees as equal, mm-hmm. right? Because that's like a nice message that they're sending out.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is the cleaning staff is all people of color, and then all the directors and supervisors are white people.
Yeah.
And they're like, look, we hire even amounts of people of color and white people, and you're walking around... But where?
Correct. And I mean, we've seen it in the art world all the time. I mean, you get two, three artists of color, but who are the curators? Who's paying for the show? Who's writing the text? Who, you know? So
yeah.
Again, let's get a different meaning to diversity.
And all you people that are working in the company, and we have been systematically oppressed for so many years to think that we cannot be the bosses. Guess what, Mimi? We can be the boss, and we deserve.
And listen to La Judy episode.
And seriously.
Because she gave me amazing lessons.
Yeah.
She compromised so many things and so many of her own ethics to keep climbing up.
Yeah.
And she did it. And she changed a lot of things for Nuevo Mexicanos in
exactly.
Albuquerque. So it might take sacrifices just because that's the reality of the world. But as you say, guess what, Mimi?
Yeah.
We can do it.
Guess what? And this is something that really... So recently I was interviewed and people are like, what are your dreams and aspirations? La, 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 la. I said, I don't have dreams. Okay? I haven't had a dream since like 1997. I have goals and I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Right? Like this is something that's attainable. Like we can be our own bosses. We can hire our own people. And that's how we're going to roll. And all of these white people that are afraid because we're going to take over, guess what? I've hired white people before too. I am also looking at diversity in my own staff. So it's not.
Yeah.
It just like blows my mind. Like self-segregation is not the answer. What? That's not even a thing. Mm-hmm. That's not even possible.
That's not what we're talking about right here.
Oh
I think,
God.
Yeah, it becomes, we love our community. We take care of each other. Therefore, we're against anything white. That's not the fucking point. The point is that sometimes we need our spaces. Sometimes we need our voices to be listened among each other so we can take action. But that's not nothing against no one, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That anyway, I don't want to get into
it. All right.
It.
Well, thank you, Leah, for your letter.
Muchas gracias.
Okay, next letter is from Anonymous.
Marilyn.
Subject is grassy ass. Okay. Hey, Latinos Who Lunch. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to both of you for being a positive force in my personal Latinidad. I present myself as a bicultural Mexican-American artist in the heartland, and it is refreshing and inspiring to hear you guys talk about the realities of what it is to live in this white culture. I am currently feeling very frustrated with how much I have to justify the representations of brown bodies in a public space. I am in collaboration with other women of color, and we want to create a mural to honor our histories. You guys know how important self-representation is, especially in art. What I want to know is how do I get these bougie-ass white people to see past their precious spaces to let us in? We want to put our mural up next to an architectural award-winning building, and they feel that the mural that's not even next to the building itself, it's a parking garage, would mess with the minimal aesthetics of the space. I call bullshit and I'm pissed. I obviously don't want to burn bridges, but it's hard when these people are putting up unnecessary hurdles. How would you handle this? Thanks again for your voices and inspiration. Insert fake name here because I don't want people to know that I am this salty about the project. Hashtag mad and afraid. P.S. Oh my gosh. P.S. Thanks for saving me money on grad school. FTP. Fuck that puta. Okay.
She just dismissed her last email.
I love her. Okay. So, or him, or they. I don't know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to put this mural up, but somebody doesn't want the mural.
Because it's going to ruin their... this is why...
It's going to ruin the minimalist aesthetics of a building.
This is why that's a guilty pleasure for me, minimalism. Because this is the problem with minimalism. It's fucking white supremacy sometimes.
Yeah.
It really is.
Truly.
It really is. And I say push for it because we're going to get into it. Or we already got into it. I don't remember. But murals are our monuments. Murals are the monuments of the Chicano Latinx, Chicano or Chicanx Latinx community.
Lots of X's there.
See what I mean?
Okay,
I don't want to get into it.
Go ahead.
So those are our monuments, and they're important. Memory monuments are memory too, and we are constructing our own memories. And the fact that we have people like this obstructing the construction of our own memories within our own communities, I said push, and FTP, man. Like FTP.
Okay. I'm going to say something that's probably going to sound not as chingonex as what you just said, but I've worked for museums, I've worked for government agencies, and it doesn't work that way a lot of times.
That's the problem.
And that's the issue.
No, you're right.
And you have to work up the ladders in the right way. Because sometimes, unfortunately, being loud and pushy will put you on a list and you will never be able to get anything
done.
You're
right.
And I know a few people like that in this city. We're in Las Vegas, for people that don't know, that they have the best intentions, but because they've been so loud and pushy in the past, nobody pays attention to them anymore.
And this is from us being male. When because you're female, you're branded hysterical first. Right. And then hysterical woman of color, forget it.
So there has to be a balance.
Uh-huh. You're right.
And you have to work smarter, not harder, right? So, I mean, and this is like a man telling a woman probably, but so this sounds so fucking stupid. But I'm thinking of one of the latest episodes of the show Nancy. Have you heard of it?
It's
about gay pride and how when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, they wanted to have a gay pride event in the Pentagon, which is one of the most homophobic, patriarchal places in this country. So they worked their way up the ladder, and nothing happened, you know? They made sure they went by all the rules. Nothing happened. So they had to kind of fudge the rules a little bit. And I'm not going to give the episode away because it's beautiful, but
wonderful podcast.
They did have to overstep their boundaries.
Yeah.
To make sure that their goal was met to have a pride event in the Pentagon.
Oof.
But they were able to do it. If these motherfuckers here could get a pride event to be hosted in the Pentagon, you guys get a mural up.
Correct.
On that building.
And yes.
So,
but yeah.
You just got to make sure you're talking to the right people. So make sure if you're bothering somebody, if you're yelling at somebody, make sure you're yelling in the right direction.
Yeah. And yelling strategically. Yeah. I don't mean to go and barge into meetings and be fuck you, everybody. No. But I say keep pushing, and you're right. You have to be strategic. We have to be strategic of how we go about things. I mean, we see it in academia. Like, I have to compromise all the time, even my own ideas, in order to be able to move into the next step, to hopefully be in a position of power where I can make those decisions for me and my community. And it's I compromise things to a certain level because I have a voice that I don't want to be denied. But you're right, we have to be strategic, but there's ways and you can do it. And once again, I say, like, keep going and keep pushing. One thing, when we talk about ourselves, when we talk about our community, let's not use bodies, because I saw it, like, brown bodies. We're people. I noticed that from the other side. I see that in academia. I see that in literature. I see that in art. It's so fancy to talk about brown bodies this and brown bodies that. We are human beings. Let's stop using this sort of lingo, because that's the lingo of the oppressors.
Bodies.
Yes. We always, I see that a lot.
I know. Recently,
like, we're just a mass.
Recently, a friend of mine did an artwork that said, "I want to see brown bodies." And to me, it was morbid. Like, brown bodies on the ground?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
So, for example,
but
when...
I understand the term now.
Uh-huh.
But, right, brown people, let's say what it is, right? White supremacy, right? Let's say it out loud.
What it
Stop
is.
Stop saying white nationalists. It's white supremacy.
Correct.
We are brown people.
Exactly.
We're not brown bodies.
And especially for people that work in the humanities and that work with historical subjects, sometimes we don't have the names of victims of genocide or this or that, and we tend to be like, oh, millions of bodies were killed. This, like, no, we might not have the names, but let's talk about it how it is. We're talking about people right here. So
yeah.
No Tino shade, to this email, but I thought it was important for me to say that because I hate to see that word when it comes to our communities. But anyway.
And it kind of ties into the last email, because if there was a brown person on one of those boards that really wanted this to happen, it would happen. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So we just have to keep the good fight. We got to keep going.
Man.
I mean, I'm fucking tired, but whatever.
There are days that I blacked all of this stuff out and I have to recharge. And that's why I watch and listen to dumb shit, because I really started thinking about it going back to school. The fact that I have to be part of committees that are dedicated just to talk about these things among themselves, to talk about diversity of students and professors and the mascot and the monuments and all these things that people back in the day made a decision with no hesitation and no problem. And now we have to deal with all this history.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's not give up.
Okay, your turn.
Metosca. So this is from Rebecca Arellano, and this is hashtag TBT. What is that? Throwback Thursday? I don't know. Throwback Thursday, episode 1, Starbucks Frappes and Horchata. Dear Fabi Fab and Babelito, I just started listening and I am hooked. You all hilarious. I want to respond to your episode 1 comment at minute 46:56 that Mexicans should stop ordering caramel frappes at Starbucks. I stopped. But I gotta put you on. Last year, Oprah sponsored a drink at Starbucks called the Oprah Cinnamon Chai Latte. Something like 25 cents from every purchase will go to Oprah's charity, and I wish that's why I bought it. But it was actually because it tasted just like horchata. I will buy it all the time. Even the Latinx barista who handed it to me whispered, "You know, this tastes just like horchata, girl." Our eyes got wide, and I was like, "Yeah." When the promo ended, I switched to regular iced chai latte, which is Starbucks speak for horchata. We are getting played. Love, LA, Bex in Boston. Again, from Rebecca Arellano, thank you so much. This was a funny email.
Oh my God.
Guess what?
They're playing us.
They
That's
are
true.
But the truth is out. Guess what, Mimi?
Well, guess what, Mimi? They're playing everyone, because Starbucks, a little inside information. Actually, it's not information, inside info. I just like read an article.
Yeah.
Starbucks is losing money on coffee because coffee is getting more and more expensive to buy because we're running out.
Because of global warming.
Because everybody's drinking coffee now. Everybody's always drank coffee, but.
But not like right now, yeah.
I mean, there's Starbucks on every goddamn corner. Mm-hmm. So they hired Oprah to sell teas, and eventually she started selling other things to go to her, I'm doing air quotes here, mm-hmm. to her charities. But really, it's a way to get everybody hooked on non-caffeinated, non-coffee drinks so that Starbucks doesn't have to buy so much coffee all the time because everybody's drinking non-coffee. So when I go to Starbucks, I always say, "Give me a venti, drip, black." And they say, "Are you sure that's what you want? Room for cream? Absolutely not. Give me the whole filled to the brim, to the top.
A 30, bitch.
Because I'm getting my money's worth. You can get it bigger than venti?
Yeah, it's called a 30.
Let's go right now. I'm about to trenty this shit up.
Trenty.
Oh my God.
And there's also a frappuccino horchata thing.
Stop fucking with horchata. Stop fucking with frappuccinos. Mm-hmm. All that ice is taking up space for coffee. And that's what you need to be getting at Starbucks.
Plus, who cares about horchata? It's just rice water. Like, let's move on. Stop with the concha. Stop with the horchata.
No,
let's move on.
No. That's so
concha gate.
They're playing all of us. She's right, though.
They are.
Yeah, they're like, "Okay, we already got the Mexicans hooked on caramel frappuccinos. What's next? This horchata thing."
Bitches put some little cinnamon and they're like, "This is horchata."
They're going to put a pulparindo. They're going to put a pulparindo straw in their lemonade and it's going to be over.
And guess what? I will be there every day.
Anyway, Starbucks, if you guys want to do any advertising with us, let me know. Our email is latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Okay, who's next? Me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Queridos Fabi Fav and Babelito.
Parece Silvia Pinal en Casos de la Vida Real.
This is from who?
Luis Rodriguez.
Okay, here's the next letter. Queridos Fabi Fav and Babelito.
Sass.
My name is Luis Rodriguez. I'm from the south of Puebla State, and I'm studying a PhD in political science at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Since episode one, I have an intellectual crush with Babelito and an artistic crush with Fabi Fav. Okay, girl, I haven't seen you in my DMs. Let me explain what I mean. I study asymmetries of power in global governance, and somehow I found Babelito's explanation of social asymmetries in everyday life refreshing, succinct, and clear.
Bitch, you better use punctuation.
This is what I'm talking about. There is a semicolon, a comma, and a period in the same sentence. Luis Rodriguez, you are a star, okay? Oh, my God. I have a crush on him now. Whew. Oh, my God. It's getting hot in here. Okay. Let me read that sentence again. Oh, sorry. Let me read that. And a colon. Okay. Let me read that sentence again. Oh, my God. This is beautiful. Let me explain what I mean. Colon. I study asymmetries of power in global governments, comma, and somehow I found Babelito's explanations of social asymmetries in everyday life refreshing, comma, succinct, comma, and clear, semicolon. So, comma, thanks Babelito for this inspiration to be clearer, avoiding complicated explanations when analyzing such complex dynamics, period.
De nada.
Woo! I'm a very visual person, and I lived forever in Mexico before. You know how I know he's academic? Because he puts a comma in front of all the ands, just like you do. And I lived forever in Mexico before going to Austin, Texas as an exchange student in 2012, and then coming to Baltimore, Maryland for my PhD since August of 2014. It was so interesting, sometimes refreshing, sometimes infuriating to see how Mexico and Mexican culture were depicted in the U.S., both in South and in the Mid-Atlantic regions. So when I found out about Justin's work, I was obsessed with his play with meanings and symbols, luring gringos with colors and paper into his meaning trap in order to slap them in the brain.
Woo! How does that look like?
It sounds like that. Okay, there are two points I'd love to hear. Shut up. There are two points I'd love to hear your opinion on. One, it's great that you have a podcast with Latino population in the U.S. in mind. We certainly need more spaces like yours. As a Mexican in the U.S., however, I would love to bring the voices of the Latin American population in the U.S. to your podcast. I'm part of this small group of individuals that A, are from Latin America, and B, are studying or working in the U.S., but they don't know if they will stay in the country to live here or if they will go back to their countries of origin. Two, you've talked about how hard it is for Latinos to have space in the art world in the U.S. I'd love to hear your opinion about the same dynamics, but in American academia. For some reason, I keep finding Latino names in programs of academic conferences just to go to the panel and find this white American person speaking in perfect English without accent. I think it's great that Latinos are being included in the program, regardless of their color or accent, but it seems that academia includes white Latinos as a token for diversity instead of trying to understand and include the diversity of voices within the Latin and Latin American community. Shout out to I'm going to edit that out. Guara guara la cuchara. Muchísimas gracias por su podcast. En verdad que sean... Oh, hold on. Spanish. I got to switch my brain. Muchísimas gracias por su podcast. En verdad que se han convertido en mi escape todos los días. Les mando un abrazote. Luis
Rodriguez.
Okay.
First of all, shout out to Johns Hopkins University. Two of my reviews, one of Mi Tierra is coming out in a journal ASAP, and another one of a border show for the Pacific Standard, LA, blah, 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 Guara Guara La Cuchara.
Okay. Nobody knows what that means, but thank you for doing that.
That's all right. I'll put a link on our website when it's ready, which will be
soon. So Mi Tierra is a show at the Denver Art Museum,
which you were in. I'm sure people know because we talked about it for like
maybe this is
20.
This is the first time somebody's listening to the podcast.
Hey, girl, welcome to Latinos for Lunch.
Ooh, you look good.
Okay. Second of all, thank you for your praise for both my rhetoric and Justin's work. When I got this email, I called Justin. And I said, this person understands or was able to describe your art in one sentence. And I read entire essays about your work and they don't get it. So I loved it.
Yeah, I like that.
I love the way that he described luring gringos with colors and paper into meaning trap in order to slap them in the brain. That's amazing. The second point of the essay is this idea that we also mentioned here. We are very Mexico-centric. A lot of token diversity when it comes to media concentrates on Chicanos in the United States. But you're right. We need to talk more about Latin America and Latin Americanists. We are slowly but surely growing into the market in Latin America. I've noticed that in our listenership. So it will be interesting to start having people from other parts, not necessarily that live in the States,
yeah,
but also live in Latin America. And he's right. This idea that people come into the States and go back to their countries,
yeah,
is something that we don't talk about. Somehow it doesn't fit the romantic idea of the immigrant, yeah, crossing the border.
If you stay here and you work hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sooner or later you'll find the gold paved streets. But the reality is that some people are fortunate enough to travel from Latin America, study in the United States and go back and
or
do good
go
things.
Or go to Europe or go to Europe. Other countries and
correct.
And live their fantasy there.
And I know a lot of that has to do with privilege, because one of my dreams is to go back to Juarez and teach there. And I'm hoping
your goals is
one
be.
Of my goals. Yes.
It's not a dream, baby.
I'm gonna do
you gotta
it.
Gotta be you're awake.
I'm gonna do it because it's not just like, oh, I want to retire back in Mexico. No, like I wanna serve my community in Juarez, and I'm going to do it at some point.
Yeah.
So yes, this is an important topic for us.
Totally. And I mean, to be on the other side of that, we are talking to people that we are directly related to.
Correct.
Like our families, mm-hmm. our friends. And we are in Las Vegas, where most of us are Mexican American. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm half Guatemalan, so you kind of hear those voices
that
once in a while.
Central American voice, yeah.
Central American voice. But we definitely have that in mind. Like when I ever have the opportunity to talk to somebody or interview somebody that's not Mexican American, I try to get them on the podcast. But I mean, this is kind of like our real life, and we're not going to force something.
Correct.
Like, hey, let's have, you know, like, and some shows actually do that, which I find really disingenuous.
Disingenuine, for sure.
Like, oh, hey, I know this one black person, let's get them on the show. You know, like that's not good. So
the master tools will never dismantle the master's house.
Okay, Miss mm-hmm. Lord, you better get it. So definitely we have that in mind. And I mean, we look at the demographics of the people that listen to our show, at the analytics. And I mean, most of the people that listen to the show are women. And so we're paying attention to that.
Yes.
Right. It keeps us from saying probably really stupid shit that we would normally say. So, but yeah. I'm just guara guara la cuchara in here, but
no, but you're absolutely
but
right.
I always keep that in mind too. Like, I know that we haven't had a show about trans issues mm-hmm. or a trans person on the show, because I know there's people out there, you know, that have a different life than we do because of that. But I'm not gonna force it. Like, if I don't meet that person that wants to tell me their story or wants to talk to us, it's just going to be awkward for us to be like, hey, come over here, hang out with us. Like, what? It's going to take time, but we'll get there.
You and know,
I think we'll have a fair representation of Latinos eventually on the show.
And I also want to think that it's the formula that we have constructed here, the fact that we have everyday people as our guests and we treat them just like... just like everybody else. I think that's part of the appeal to the show. And even though we've been blessed to have some amazing and more high profile guests, that's not what we're always shooting for. We're not always hunting for those guests. Instead, we have, you know, like tus primos, so mis tías.
Oh yeah, my cousins are going to be on in the future. They're so cute.
It's awesome. And that's part of it. That's part of the whole thing. And the last point that he mentioned, it's diversity in academia. He's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I've seen, for example, how sometimes a person from Spain, it counts as the Chicano or Latin diversity. And yes, there's a lot of people from different parts of the world that study Latin American culture, visual culture, literature, culture, whatever, and that's fantastic. But when it comes to brown professors, I don't know if our universities really understand that or publications really understand that, what it means. There are task forces that are constructed in universities to diversify the space. And it still doesn't work because the idea of diversity, once again, means something for some group of people and it means something completely different from another group of people. I know what it means for me. I don't see it reflected, and I haven't seen it reflected in any academic space that I've been to. I am moving towards a more professional part of my career where I have to sign up to 19th century studies, 18th century studies. And when you go to this conference, what do you see? You see all European people because somehow they constructed all the culture from that period. The reality is that that's not true.
Right.
But that's why we need to keep studying. That's why we need to go to grad school. And that's why we need to keep doing what we're doing. Because if we don't say it, guess what? Nobody else is going to say it for us. So he's absolutely right when it comes to the token brown person in departments, the token brown person in editorial boards, the token brown person in museums. And it's a problem. But for all of those that have a foot at the door, keep pushing.
Yeah. And then we also slide into territory that's a little dangerous to say that people that don't look Latino aren't Latino, because I know a lot of Latinos in my own family that don't look like they're brown, right? I mean, well, they're not brown. That don't look like they're Mexican or Guatemalan, right? And that is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, especially, well, here, I'll give you an example.
Do it.
So somebody just did a video profile on me and my art, right? And it's going to come out soon. It's probably already out by the time this comes out. But
check the links.
Okay, this is going to sound, I don't know what this is going to sound like, but I'm just going to be honest.
Do it.
There was a scene in the thing where they wanted me to be surrounded by my family at a dinner, right? At a restaurant. So we were at Lindo Michoacán, shout out, get your 25% off. and we were all eating dinner, and Crystal, my roommate, who's brown, who's from Chihuahua, she's like, "Hey, can I bring Bobby?" Which is, he's my roommate too. He's been my roommate for years. He's like my family, you know? And I thought, I don't know. I said you can kind of pass as my cousin, but I don't know about Bobby, you know? And then I was like thinking in my head, like, how fucked up is that?
Yes.
And then I'm looking at pictures of my family. I'm like, oh, my family looks white too. Like, who am I to make that distinction? And hello, Bobby's my family. Like, my tia Julie, who's been on the podcast, you know what I mean? Like, they're my family. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. And I just said, of course Bobby can come. That's so dumb.
Yeah.
That was so dumb of me to say that. And Jen came and said, yes, bring Michael. Like, you know, for some reason, all of our friends have white boyfriends. So I don't know what's happening with that. That's another episode. But it just really got me thinking about that. And we've also talked about it in the past, like this thing where you have to like prove yourself, like
you have to,
you can't speak Spanish.
Yes.
Oh, you're not really Mexican. You're not full. You're not really Chicano if you can't speak Spanish. I think that with that in academia, it also falls into people's privileges and how they were raised and their experience growing up, which is one of the reasons I don't like Hamilton and Lin-Manuel Miranda, because okay, he's Latino, but now he represents all of us.
Yeah.
No, his upbringing was so privileged and nobody fucking talks about that. Everybody's just like, yes, let me spend thousands of dollars on whatever he's doing. And meanwhile, I'm over here like eating top ramen. Anyway, that's another episode too. Okay, go watch Moana, everybody, because apparently he's also Pacific Islander. So,
shapeshifter, everybody.
Shut up. Anyways, it's just a sticky subject. That's all I want
to
say.
No, it's up. I'm with you because I think we're pushed to perform our Latinidad at yes. all times.
Yes.
But who's defining the borders of that performance? We should be the ones doing it.
Yeah.
And guess what? Latinidad and Latinos and Chicanos and Latinoamericanos, we all look different, all different colors. And that goes back to the letter number 4 that we read here. And how she talked about how she defines herself as a hybrid.
First yeah.
of all, uh-huh, as from a hybrid of indigenous show. And the colonizer.
Yeah.
We keep doing that, man. We keep boxing ourselves into this duality.
Yeah.
We're everything. We're Africanos.
I'm everyone.
We're Asiáticos. We're Europeos. Yeah. As much
Shout
as
out
we
to my
hate
Filipino
it.
Cousins.
Exactly. We are absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And in this world today, that is represented in our families. My white boyfriend's family looks browner than my brown family
True.
Because of who we are, because of who's the relationships that they have established. So it's very, very easy for us to define ourselves as in this duality, you know, hashtag Ansaldúa, like romanticize the border, ni de aquí, ni de allá, but we are such complicated and complex
No, soy
beings.
De aquí, soy de allá, and
de
I'm in my, y de todos lados.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
And I think
amen
we,
to that.
Yes, and I think we need to start embracing that. I think it is a beautiful thing in a way to romanticize this fact that we don't belong in either way, but the reality is that we need to start proclaiming our spaces that we belong everywhere. And we belong everywhere as not only people from indigenous background, but we have to embrace our colonial realities and do something with it. Otherwise, we're going to keep denying it. We're going to keep romanticizing los Aztecas and los Olmecas and los Mexicas when we don't know much about it. And we're not going to do anything. We're just going to keep boxing ourselves in categories that we don't even understand ourselves.
Yeah.
So that goes with that comment that the fact that our families and our friends, our circle of people are of all kinds of different colors. And we're fortunate to be able to say that. So I'm glad you mentioned that because it's been burning.
You know, there's a cream for that. So, oh my God. Well, that was amazing. Thank you guys, Luis. Thank you for that letter.
Yes.
And, oh my gosh, we are just so happy that you guys are still listening to us. So, you know, we wanted to dedicate this whole show to you guys. And as we said in the past, we're going to start reading the listener letters whenever we have a full episode and we have time. So please keep sending your letters to latinoswholunch@gmail.com. And I think I'm going to make a phone number soon so you guys can call. So I'll give you that in a future episode. So
they can leave their message.
Yeah, or leave a or email us a voice memo. Like about a minute long is good enough. Please don't send us a whole manifesto. But before we go, we want to just give a few shout outs.
And I put together this part of the episode because these are also people that send emails, some of them long, and even though they didn't make it to the final emails that we read, I still want to make sure that we talk about the fact that they send amazing stuff, and we're very happy. So we'll start with, first of all, Patty Rodriguez, who follows us on social media. We're always in conversation.
Patty!
Shout out, girl. She emailed us, I love you guys so much. As simple as that.
Oh, next one is from Leslie, co-founder of Vive Cosmetics. She says, I love your podcast and both of you. You guys make us listeners feel welcome and like we can be BFFs. Girl, if you're ever in Vegas,
llegale.
Let me know.
The next one is from Vanessa Escobar from Los Angeles, who wrote, "A Mexican, Guatemalan, and Ecuadorian." Just like we were saying, wow. Like everything.
And I damn, the ceviche battle in that in her head. Which ceviche is better? I got three different. Okay, go ahead.
And I just want to tell you guys that I appreciate your podcast so much. You guys don't even know. Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Shout out to Fabiola Casa, who lives in London and started listening to us through Radio Menea.
Shout out. We also have Zach and Carlos Kennedy Lopez, who wrote us, "I'm white, but my husband's first generation Mexican, and I got him hooked on your show too. And honestly, listening to you guys is one of the highlights of my week."
Oh.
Hello. Thank you so much. Shout out, you guys.
All right. Shout out to Cameron, who wrote, "I just want to let you know how much I cherish these podcasts. As a college student in a mostly white, smallish town, hearing your podcast creates a space of home and Latinidad where it's missing for me. And I go out of my way to play LWL out loud."
Yes!
Yes! "Whether it's be sitting outside with my neighbor in my neighborhood, in my kitchen, in the car, and especially at work when I'm in the back cleaning." Thank you, Cameron.
Beautiful. To Sarah Stevens, who says, "I am a white woman living in LA, but every episode I listen to, there is a common thread that makes me not along in agreement. She started listening to us thanks to the episode of Ramiro," because she's friends with Ramiro. Shout out.
Okay. This is from Grecia Huesca. Is that how you say her name?
Yes.
"The Things I Didn't Tell My Mother." That's her blog.
That's the name of her blog, and I'll put a link to that blog in our website.
So Grecia with the blog, "The Things I Didn't Tell My Mother." Part one is about her memories and events that occurred in Mexico and continue to be part of who she is today. And part two is about her coming to the U.S. and being and growing up undocumented. So check that out. Link on latinoswholunch.com.
And finally, to Teresa Gomez, during the dissertation process, I wanted to meet with her, and we haven't been able to. But next time in Albuquerque, I'm going to reach out to you, girl. And she has a really interesting story about an orphanage in Juarez, which hopefully we can get into in the future. So shout out to Teresa Gomez in Albuquerque.
Yes. And if you guys see us out in these streets, don't be afraid to come up to us and say, "Hey, I listen to Latinos Who Lunch," because we might have a sticker we can give you guys.
That's right.
But I've met a lot of you guys out in Las Vegas, at Public Us, for example, where you go have coffee all the time. And I just want to say, I mean, if we seem like we're like busy, it's because we are. But don't be afraid to come up to us and say hi. It really means the world to us to know that we have listeners here in our hometown too.
Absolutely.
So thank you to everybody that listens. And as always, you can find our latest episodes on latinoswholunch.com. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Google Play. And you can go out there and rate and review us. So most importantly, go on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is
essential.
And now I'm going to ask you guys to do us a quick favor. If you love Latinos Who Lunch, please, this week, recommend it to one person you know. Just one person. It's just been, this podcast has been growing so much, and I'm just so happy that I'm able to do something like this. I never thought Latinos Who Lunch would last more than a few episodes. So I'm glad we're
you
still
did
here.
It?
Well, I never told you that, but
I was like, if we get a year, we're lucky. And now here we are. But
anyway. Okay. Well, I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Hola. Ay, no, hombre, ando bien extasiada, emocionada de todo, porque todo puede suceder aquí en el kilómetro 26. ¿Y qué creen? Pues hace rato que iba llegando. No, así está porque ando bien cansada, ya no aguanto las patitas de mujer. Llegué y que me dice uno, mijo, súbete. Le dije, claro que sí. Dijo, pero ¿qué onda? Eres como la carretera de Laredo. Le dije, ah, cabrón, ¿cómo? Dijo, y di vuelta. Le dije, ay, por favor. ¡Claro! Dijo, bueno, a ver, súbete. Pues que me subo y todo así. Dijo, mija, nada más que yo soy muy limpio. Le dije, no, yo también. Le dije, soy bien limpio. Dijo, ¿cómo? ¿Qué? ¿Cuándo? ¿Qué horas? ¿Qué pensaste? Dijo, pues que eras roca. Ay, 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 cállate el hocico, le dije. ¿No hueles o estás mormado? Ay, 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 la nueva, ¿eh? ¿No hueles o estás mormado? Y luego, no, pues ya me subí todo. Me dijo, ¿qué onda, mija? Entonces, que se va a armar todo el merquetengue, así asado con el excusado, que chinen en güengüen y guaraguara la cuchara. Le dije, pues, OV7, mijo. Le dije, ¿verduras? La verdura para el caldo de res, ¿cómo ves? ¿Sí o no? Dijo, no, sí. Ya me subí, dijo, bueno, mira, como eres ida y vuelta, dijo, te la chupo yo y me la chupas tú. ¿Qué? ¿Cómo? Le dije, no, te la chupo yo y me la chupas tú, para emocionarme más y ponerme más. Más. Le dije, mijo, dijo, nomás que no se me va a parar. Le dije, yo con el puro soplido te la paro. Vas a ver. Y que empieza el doma, daca, pícale todo, ráscale y juana, juana la cuchara. Que me dice, bueno, está bueno. Ya se la empecé a chupar y todo bien bonito. Se la estaba chupando y todo. Y que me agarra la mazacuata. ¡Oh! Pero le di un apretón de esos de que me la quería arrancar. Le dije, si no estás batallando para meter la cuarta, infeliz, cálmala. Cálmala, bato. Pues el hombre bien emocionado, bien encantado. Me dijo, no, hombre, dijo, si la tienes bien rica, mi hija. Dijo, ahorita te la voy a chupar. Pero como que venía bien enrinado, como que venía bien empericado porque no producía saliva con la boca. Y no producía, le dije, mi hijo, raspa, cabrón, no mames, se chupa con los labios, no con los dientes. Ay, 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 me quedé como en remix. Ay, 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 ay. El hombre estaba chupe, chupe, pero bien emocionado. Y yo, dejándome querer, como una vil puta. Nomás que le dije, respétame, porque me decía, eres una puta. Te encanta el chile. Dije, ay, 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 vender las piñas en la plaza y de algo pendejo. Si el que me la estaba chupando era a mí. No, hombre, oigan, me dio un chupón doble. Garganta y labio. Bueno, diente, porque como me raspaba con los dientes. Yo ya estaba a punto de explotar. La falla de San Andrés estaba a punto de hacer quebramiento y dejar a Baja California fuera, dijo el otro. No, porque voy para allá el 7 y el 8. Y no, ya no aguanté y se los dejé ir. Dijo, le dije, ya me voy a venir. Dijo, suéltalos. Dije, pues se van a quedar atorados porque traía el condón puesto. No, el hombre se dio una gozadera bruta. Y yo quedé como conejito después de haber echado dos palos, con las patas bien tirantes, o como chivito acabado de nacer. Ya ven cómo se van cayendo como pendejos así. Así quedé, ay no, de terror al crimen. Chaito Valdés.